turn tonight.
Are kind, I love them, everyone. Oh, we
Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? When I'm seeking refuge for my soul. Oh, and I'm needing a friend to save me in the end. Oh, tell me where could I go? Thankful that we have a place that we can go tonight. Amen. God bless you. I believe we got a family all the way from California with us tonight. Good to have you all with us this evening. And got several prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord this evening. But I want to announce, first of all, Lord willing, we'll be having our youth Bible study tomorrow night from 7:30 to 9:30. And that's for the youth 10 and up. We'll be here tomorrow night from 7:30 to 9:30. And they'll be in the fellowship hall in the basement. If you just want to drop the kids off at the basement door and then pick them up there, the same spot at 9:30. And then we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. We want to remember Brother Jeremy and Sister Becky Bird in prayer this evening. They're not feeling well. Also, says, please remember Brother Todd Neighbor, who's not feeling well tonight. We want to remember him in prayer. And also, Brother Guido, a missionary brother from Belgium. He's getting ready to go to the Ukraine and Russia. I believe he's actually traveling there today and going to start the services tomorrow and be there for about 2 weeks in the Ukraine and Russia. So I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies and for the services there. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests? You'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. I know I saw him earlier. I'm trying to see if he's... Where are you at, Brother Trevor? Brother Trevor, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer? I didn't want to call on him if he wasn't up here, but. Oh, I'm sorry. This prayer request for Brother Todd must have been left over from Sunday, but glad to see he's feeling better in here tonight. But amen. And then also, I think Brother Layton has some bread for us, physical bread, again, in the basement that his son had given. Some people donated to him. So if you want to grab a couple loaves of those after service, they're downstairs in the fellowship area on one of the tables. God bless you, brother.
I don't know how he missed my green shirt, but good to be here with you all tonight. Let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you're worthy tonight. Just coming in, singing that song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Yes. Truly you are, Father. And Lord, we want to thank you for your blood that washes us and cleanses us from unrighteousness. That we can stand in that holy presence because of the redemption of the blood. Father, we thank you for sending your word to us for redemption. Father, we just listening to a preacher today and just hearing how he was talking through the scripture that those that loved not the truth were to be burned. Father, we love the truth that you've sent us in this hour. You've sent us a message, Lord, and it's everything to us. It's life to us to know that you spoke to us in our day. God, we're so grateful for it. Father, let it just come into our hearts and live through us, Father. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you bless this little church, Lord, and all the people that come, Lord. Lord, let this service just lift us up, Lord. Lord, let this service just let truth sink deep into our hearts, Father. God, we ask that you would be with this brother that's traveling, Lord, our brother Guido, to be a minister of this gospel, Lord, into the Ukraine and Russia. Lord, no doubt that's not an easy trip for him to take, Father. So, Father, would you be with him? Would you give him strength, Lord God? Would you give him anointing and unction, Lord Jesus, that he might boldly proclaim this message, this truth that we have in this hour? Lord God, that the ears of the hearer and the heart would be pricked, Lord, to receive this truth, Father. Lord, now come, Lord. We bring our hearts to you to worship you and adore you. Lord, may you come and be welcome and find happiness in our praise, Lord. May you be in our midst as we invite you down. Lord, we thank you for your word that says, wherever you be with us, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, thank you for that promise. Thank you for condescending to us to be amongst us tonight. Lord, bless the word as it goes forth now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come. This is 83 in your hymn book. Amen. You see the lily in your valley tonight?
Well, I have found a friend in Jesus. Oh, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tie. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me so, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me. I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tie. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me so, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Oh, where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on? Stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Well, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I hide until the storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when when the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge in this time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Well, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I go? Oh, when there's no one else to turn to, who do I turn to? When nobody wants to listen, who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when
turn and greet your neighbor and shake their hand.
Time of tribulation, when my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. Time together, I go to the rock, my salvation. I run into the stone that the builders rejected. Run into the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
God bless you tonight. Amen. How many is thankful that we have a rock that we can turn to? Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn it with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and want to begin at the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. We looked last week. We've been looking for some months, really, on the thought of speak the word. Different prophets down through the ages, and God Himself in the book of Genesis speaking by the spoken word, creating the heavens and the earth. But last few weeks we've been looking at Brother Branham's ministry, and last week we looked at what he taught us on the coming of the Lord, and tonight I want to look at this thought of the resurrection, and we want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. And Paul speaking, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, not a prophet, not a priest, not a king, not a substitute, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, Father, I just ask that you'd take complete control of this service. Lord, may you be in every aspect of it. Lord, we come together tonight to learn a little bit more about you and to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, to get help and strength, Lord, from the fountain of strength and of love, Lord, that you are. And Lord, we're depending on you tonight because without you, we are completely unable. But Father, Lord, if you'll just come on the scene, Lord, help me just to get myself out of the way that you could use me as you see fit. Be with those that are sitting here present, Lord. Anoint not only their ears, but also their hearts to receive, Lord, as we look into the scriptures and the quotes. Father, Lord, may we just look at this thought again tonight. And Lord, may it just give us encouragement, Father. Lord, there's so many that are without hope, that they don't have the hope of the resurrection. And when their loved ones die, they think that's just all that there is to it. But I'm so thankful tonight that when our loved ones go on, we have the hope that we'll see them again.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for that peace. Lord, in times of loss and in times of distress, it's you that comes and provides a peace that passes understanding. Lord, we just look to you again tonight, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, for all that we have need of. You know all the needs that are represented here tonight, many more than I would know about, Father. But Lord, may you just use the preaching of the word to encourage each heart that's represented here tonight. We'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Branham says this in The Resurrection of Lazarus in 1953. He says, "I believe in a bodily, physical resurrection." He says again in The Serpent Seed, 1958, "We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead to receive a body, not old and wrinkled as we go into the grave, but a new one in the very bliss of youth to live forever." Not an old wrinkled body that goes down there with gray hair and maybe bald-headed or maybe not much hair left or whatever it would be. Maybe wrinkles and scars and all kinds of things. But not that old body that you looked at through the ages. Maybe you've been with your spouse 30 or 40 years. But that body's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So not just that old wrinkled body going down, but God's going to do something supernatural. Proving his word, 1964, Brother Ram says, "No matter how much you try to think the physical resurrection couldn't be, and then people's back there and just dust of the earth and past dust now, they're just into the acids and gases that their body was made out of, their soul is still living. God said, I'll raise it up." Job said, "Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see God." See, no matter, every word has got to be kept. And man shall live by that word. Now, as we looked at it recently, Job looking around, you know, he could look at nature. And Brother Branham told us that even without the Bible, we should be able to believe in the resurrection, because Job could look around and he would see a little flower. It would die, but then it would come spring again the next year and it would live again. He would see the tree and the sap would go down into the root of the tree and the leaves would fall and some of those old dead branches would break off in the winds and things. But then the next year, he would see life come back into that tree again. It would begin to bud again. He could see the death, burial, and resurrection out here in botany life. But yet he looked at himself and he said, a man dies and what happens to him? He goes to the dust and his children can't come and see him. He can't go and see his children. But then God lifted him up into the spiritual realm and he showed him by vision and he saw the resurrection. He saw Easter and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And not only that, he said, but I'll see him and not another. I'll see him with my own eyes. Even though the skin worms have destroyed this body, yet I'll see him. Oh my, what a blessed thing that it is for us. Calling Jesus on the scene, 1964, he said, when we're laying nothing but maybe a spoonful of ashes, he promised to raise up that ashes. He promised to raise it up. The body has to obey him. And that's when we die, we rest assured that we'll be raised up, because he promised he would do it. And his promise is his word. And we believe. He said, you believe in the resurrection of the body? Congregation says amen. He says, sure. If you're not, you're not a Christian. So we believe that he'll raise up at the last day. He promised to do it. And what is that? That's his word. That's where we stake everything that we got, right on that word. Everything that we've got, we stake it right on that word. Why? Because if he rose, then we're going to raise with him. Is that right? Amen. There's something about it. Job could look around and see all the despair and all the misery, but yet even in nature itself, he could see this testimony of death, burial, resurrection, death, burial, resurrection. And Brother Branham, looking at it in one place, as I said, he said, we don't even need a Bible to see it. You can look out here at nature and see it like Job did, but yet I'm thankful that we don't just have a natural type out there in the earth somewhere, but that we can look into the scriptures and see what's promised for us and how it'll be. Now, you know, there's all kinds of different opinions and ideas and doctrines that surround about this. Some think that the graves are literally going to be opened and the caskets are going to pop out and somebody's going to step out of the casket. And my, how could he do that, Brother Bram said, and it be a thief coming in the night? Hey man, if you went out here to, you know, Eastern Cemetery or some of the different places and my hundreds of graves just wide open and caskets laying there and they wondered where'd all those people go and it'd be all over the news. That couldn't be him coming as a thief in the night. It'll be a little bit more supernatural than that. And Brother Bram says, in God hiding himself in simplicity, 1963, he said, it ain't going out there and angels coming down and shovel out the graves and get an old dead carcass out here. What is it? It's born of sin to begin with. But a new one made in its likeness. You know, see, if I have this, we'll die again. See, nobody will say the graves will open, the dead shall walk out. That may be true, but not open the way you say open. See, that's right. See, it won't be like that. It'll be a secret because he said he'd come like a thief in the night. Now, he says again, and I'm the resurrection and the life, 1963. He said, all Christianity is based upon resurrection. Again, and when their eyes were opened, they knew him, 1964. He says, Christianity is based upon resurrection. Now, not replacement, resurrection. He said, for instance, this motel key here, if I would drop that on the floor and said, well, I dropped it, I'll place another one like it here. That isn't resurrection, that's replacement, see? Resurrection is bring up the same thing that went down, and God raised him up on the third day, and we believe that with all of our heart, and we believe the Bible story. Now, this is 1963, November, after the seals is open. Let's look back again at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, if you listen to those last two quotes carefully, it sounds like it's contradicting one another, because Brother Ram said in one quote, he said, it won't be this body. If it was this body again, it would die again. But then he said in the other quote, he said, it can't be replacement. It has to be resurrection. So what it'll be, God will change this body. Amen. It won't be this guy anymore. It won't be this guy that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies. There's no way that he would let me into the bliss of heaven in this body. This body is weighed down by sin. This body, and no matter how holy and how clean and how pure that I try to live, it was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies. And in God's sight, no matter how pure and how holy and how righteous you live, it's still a sinful body. Amen. It wasn't fashioned like this body is going to be fashioned. What is it? It came the wrong way. It came through the wrong way. It came through sex desire. And by doing that, when you came in, before you even had a chance, no matter how holy you lived as a little boy, and maybe all the other kids would go and they would get into things and you would live pure and holy and righteous. Didn't matter how righteous you lived. It didn't matter if you never smoked a cigarette, never took a drink of whiskey, and never went out and looked at pornography, never got addicted to drugs, never did any of these things that maybe some of your buddies did. You still needed a Savior. Because this guy was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Now, your sins might have been less than mine. They might have been more than mine, but you still needed a Savior. Amen. We needed to be redeemed. Why? Because we came the wrong way. Well, it wasn't God's intention for it to be exactly this way. But yet, he looked down through eternity, and he saw a group of people that he was going to call out. And through the fall, he allowed this to happen to display his attributes. He couldn't save me if I didn't need a Savior. He couldn't redeem me if I didn't need a Redeemer. He couldn't heal me if I was never going to be sick. And he couldn't be the right kind of intercessor for me if I was never going to be tempted and needed somebody there to be a way of escape for me. He could never do these things, these attributes that he wanted to express to me. Now, with all the heartaches and the misery and everything that we go down through here on life, I'm so glad that he allowed us to come this way, because the angels could never love him the way that we love him. Brother Bram said, there they stand sinless. And when we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, they'd have to stand there with bowed heads because they didn't have to be redeemed. They was created to worship him. But you and I needed a Redeemer. We needed a Savior. And when we can look into his eyes and say, oh my, I didn't deserve it. I was so unworthy. But yet you came and you chose me. You came and you gave your life to redeem me. What a day it'll be. What a day it'll be to see him who came and redeemed us. When I was unlovable, yet he loved me. When everybody else would have given up on me, he didn't give up on me, because he knew I was his from the beginning. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Notice he didn't say he'll replace our vile body with the new body. He'll annihilate our old body and give us a new body. He'll change our vile body. Hey man, it's not going to be the same guy. This guy, he's getting more white hair every day, seems like. He gets tired, he gets aches, he gets pains. Sometimes he has good days, sometimes he has bad days. Sometimes, you know, he lives way up here on the sanctification meter, and sometimes he's way down here at the bottom of the sanctification meter. And you know, sometimes things come. I know I'm preaching to angels tonight, and you all don't go through days like that. But, you know, sometimes he gets upset, and sometimes he's gone on the mountaintop. Sometimes he's got victory. Sometimes he's got disappointment. Sometimes it just seems like he can walk through a troop and leap over a wall. Sometimes it seemed like he couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. What is it? This body that's weighing us down. Sometimes you come to church and you feel like you're ready to run around the aisles, and other times you come to church and you can't hardly focus on the service. You think, what's wrong with me? Why can't I snap out of this, whatever it is that I'm in? What is it? It's this guy weighing us down. Maybe you had to drag him to church tonight. Maybe he didn't feel like it. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he said, oh my, can't hardly afford the gas to put in the car to go to church tonight. But you dragged him here anyhow. Right. Amen. This guy could never be comfortable over there. This guy would sit there and just be in shame all the time and say, oh Lord, just Give me something to cover my face and my feet and my hands. I'm unworthy. I can't stand in this presence. I can't stand in this light. I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. Oh, but Brother Nathan, you were a pretty guy, pretty good guy. You got saved and you got sanctified and you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, there stood Isaiah, a vindicated prophet, the one that would prophesy and say that a virgin shall conceive. And compared to us, he probably lived a pretty good holy life. And there he stands. He wasn't tempted with the internet. He wasn't tempted with a lot of the things that we are today in the technology realm and things. And there he stood and you know, sanctified and standing there in all the righteousness that he knew how to live. And he stood there and he said, I'm an unclean man with unclean lips and I dwell among unclean people. He couldn't even stand in the physically there in the presence of God without just saying, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. You say, oh, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I live the message just as best as I know how. You get in his presence one time and you'll realize how unclean that you are. Amen. We could never stand there and feel the freedom just to worship him and lay there and hold his feet and say, oh, we're so thankful. We'd want to be hiding in the deepest, darkest closet in the basement of heaven, if there is one, if we was there in this body. Don't get me in that light. Just hide me somewhere. Hide me down in the bottom of the earth. Hide me somewhere. Why? This guy's not worthy enough. But he's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's even able to subdue this guy unto himself. He's going to change it. Oh my, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, if we can just live holy enough and clean enough and righteous enough, beloved, if we can just attain to something a little higher than where we're at now, beloved, if you could just live as holy as Brother Branham, beloved, if you can ever get beyond the curtain of time, beloved, if you can ever make it into heaven, that's not what he said, is it? Beloved, now, not somewhere way off in the future somewhere, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Don't let Satan lie to you tonight. Brother Bram said in the church age book, he said, you wasn't a pig that was made a sheep. You was always a sheep. Let me say it this way tonight. You weren't a chicken that was made into an eagle. You was always an eagle. It just took an eagle flying by and screaming to let you recognize what you really were to begin with. You didn't fit in out there with your worldly buddies, or you didn't fit in out there with your denominational churches, but there was something about it that an eagle began to fly over and scream, and you recognized something that you said, there's something more to this than what I've been taught. There's something more to this than what I've lived. It wasn't that you was something else and then God changed you. It was that you had been that all along. You just hadn't recognized it yet. It took something to call you up a little higher than what you were. Not somewhere off in the future we're going to be sons, but now we are the sons of God. And it doth not appear yet, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, we'll look at it in a moment. When Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time there in 1961, and he was caught up, he said if it was a vision, it wasn't like any vision that he ever had. And he's standing there in the presence of these people, and he said, I'd always been afraid that, you know, if I die and go to heaven. He said, it wasn't that I was afraid of dying. He said, I just thought I'd be a little cloud that would float around. I'd see Brother Neville or some of the other brothers, and I couldn't shake their hand. I could see them, and I could recognize with them, but I couldn't really fellowship with them because I wouldn't have a body. And he said, but when I went beyond there, he said, I thought, how could I have ever been scared of this? How could, he said, sublime wouldn't even, the word, there's no English word that you could use to explain it. He said, sublime wouldn't touch it. And he said, when he got there, they came running to him, said, our precious brother, and grabbed him by the hand, shook his hand, hugged his neck, and oh my, he stood there in a body. He was able to recognize him. That one lady, he said, now, I'm not sure I recognize her. They said, oh, that's because she was 90-something when she was converted. She was in a young body now, not that old wrinkled body that they put her in the ground with. But what was it? She was changed. And here he sees her in this other dimension in a theophany body. And she wasn't just a cloud floating around. But it says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, my, I'm looking forward to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it replacement and resurrection. But yet this body is sown in corruption and it raises in incorruption. Not a different body. That would be replacement, but a changed body. Changed. He's got to change some of the elements in this guy. He's got to change my. He's already came and changed our nature, but it's going to take more than that, because even though we had a nature change, this guy here still weighs us down. Sometimes he gets tired. Sometimes he gets mad. Sometimes he gets frustrated. But yet the inside of that nature says, no, no, don't you do it. Don't you say it. It keeps, what is it? It's a constant fight. Why? Brother Bram said it was like that Indian chief. He said, oh my. He said, ever since I got saved, I got two dogs that are within me. He said, oh yeah, what is that? He said, I got a white dog and a black dog. He said, they fight all the time. Brother Bram said, well, which one wins usually? And he said, it depends on which one I feed the most. It's a constant battle. You go back and read Romans chapter 7 if you don't believe it. You say, oh my, that's not true after you got the Holy Ghost. Well, I guess Paul didn't have the Holy Ghost when he wrote Romans 7 then. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And the good that I would do, I don't. Why? Because this guy was weighing him down. Oh my. He said, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this veil of flesh? Oh my. It's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, and it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. There Peter said, oh, Lord, I'll never let him take you. I'll never let him kill you. He said, get behind me, Satan. It wasn't that he was calling Peter Satan. It was that spirit that was within him that was speaking something contrary to the word. He said, get behind me, Satan. Oh, my, and he begins to teach him. He said, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, how can it ever really produce what was in it? We get scared of death. Death is going to bring out the best part of you that there ever will be. This body is going to be sown in corruption, but it's going to raise in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, it raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Amen. So if it's raised a spiritual body, does that mean we're just going to be a cloud that floats around here? Let's go look and see what he said about it. Beyond the Curtain of Time, 1961. Now, Brother Neville is reading this that's been written down about the Beyond the Curtain of Time. They've got it in letter form, and he's sitting there reading it to the congregation, what was written. Brother Neville's reading Brother Bram's words. Then I noticed that I, too, had become young again. Now, he's changed here, and he's looking, and he sees he's standing in another dimension, but yet he said he could look back. Here he is, he's in the same bedroom. He was laying there with his hands clasped behind his head, laying on the poster bed there. And he said, I could look back and see my body laying there. He could turn from this dimension, standing here, and look back into that dimension, see that old body laying there. But then he recognizes, but wait a minute, these are young hands. These aren't wrinkled hands. My face isn't all wrinkled. It's smooth. What is it? I noticed that I, too, had become young again. I looked at myself there, and I turned and looked back at my old body laying on the bed. With my hands under my head, behind my head rather. I said, I don't understand this. The fifth seal, 1963. I turned around to look back, and there I was, laying on the bed. Now, he wasn't 10 million miles away up in the clouds somewhere. He was standing right there, just in a different dimension. And he turns, and he sees back into this other dimension. There he is, laying on that bed, an old man. And here he is, standing in this other dimension, a preview of what will be, standing there in a young body. Why should that scare us? Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Christ has revealed in his own word in 1965. He said, you're going to find out one of these days that when you go to heaven, you don't fly off somewhere else. Uh-oh. We sing some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Depends on what you mean by that. Amen. I'm going to fly away into another dimension. But not 10 million miles away somewhere up on a cloud. It's just going to be taking a step one day like Enoch. Enoch was walking one day and God said, you know what, Enoch? You're closer to my house than you are to yours. Now, Enoch did like they were trying to do at the Tower of Babel and had built a tower way up high into the heavens, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories. I don't know how high they got it before God finally came down and confused their language and stopped it. But he hadn't, you know, went up on Mount Everest and started building something high and a big skyscraper up there saying, Lord, if I could just get up into heaven, if I could just reach that cloud. And he said, come on up, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours anyhow. Had nothing to do with height, had nothing to do with cumulus clouds or anything like that. He was standing there on earth one day, but There was something about him. His nature had begun to get so in tune with God's nature. And he was taking a walk one day and God said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours. And he was just changed in a moment. Maybe he was just stepping. And by the time that foot got down, that foot was young. Oh, my. You don't fly away somewhere else. You're still right here, too, just in another dimension faster than this. That's where they were. God's only provided place of worship, 1965. I said, do you eat? Said, not here. We don't eat here. But when we go back to earth, we'll receive a body we eat in. The fifth seal, 1963. He said, then when Jesus comes, 10 where, and he judges you for your ministry, then we go back to earth and take up bodies. Well, I thought about it. Then that's exactly the scripture. Said, then we go back to earth, take up bodies, then we eat. We don't eat here, neither do we sleep. Said, we sit down on earth, we eat down on earth, but there, but we go back to the earth. Now, here they were. They were on the earth, but they were in a different dimension. They were in a body, but it was a different body. They didn't eat in that body. They didn't have to sleep in that body. They didn't do anything like that. Here they were. They were in a body. He could shake their hands. He could hug them. He could talk to them. He could see them. He could recognize them. But they said, we don't eat in this body. We're going back to the earth and pick up bodies. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I figure they know more about it than anybody. They're already over there in that dimension. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this old guy here, if he's dissolved, if he's just a spoonful of ashes, if the lions eat him, if they burn it to the stake, whatever they do, when this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Brother Bam explains just what that is and who is this Melchizedek, 1965. And then when this robe of flesh is dropped, there's a natural body, theophany. A body not made with hands, neither born of a woman that we go to. Then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. That's exactly what they're talking about here. When this earthly body be dissolved, there's another one waiting for us eternal in the heavens. That's where he saw them beyond the curtain of time. There they were in bodies that he could shake hands, he could talk with them, he could fellowship with them. But they said, we don't eat here, but we're coming back and we're going to pick up bodies on the earth and we're going to eat there. He said, that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. Again, who is this Melchizedek? I want you to recognize tonight how that you know whether or not you have a theophany over there. Because Brother Bram teaches us in souls that are in prison now in 1963, he said, I've been in both places. He'd been in the regions of the lost and the regions of the saved. And in the regions of the saved in the sixth dimension, they were rejoicing. Oh my, sublime wouldn't even describe it. But in the fifth dimension, in the regions of the lost, he said, it was just like a nightmare that he was caught in. He was just falling and he couldn't catch himself, couldn't do nothing. I screamed for my daddy, but there was no daddy there. I screamed for my mommy, but there was no mommy there. I screamed for God, but there was no God there. And here he is just falling in this dimension, falling, caught in a nightmare. Why was it he didn't have a body to step in that dimension? Why did he say the rich young ruler was screaming? He said he was caught there and he didn't have a place to step. You and I, we've got a theophany that we go to. We've got a place that when this body dies, whatever they want to do, they can take it out here and chop its head off or whatever, changed in a moment. One time you're breathing in this body, and then they take that last breath out of it. Maybe you die in a car wreck, maybe an atomic bomb, whatever it'll be, gets you. And you go out of here, and in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, change, boom, right there into that other body that they can't kill, they can't tax. And there you stand. Why? Because you had a body there waiting for you. But the sinner doesn't have a body there waiting for him. So when he goes beyond this veil and this body begins to dissolve, he has no place to step. He doesn't have a theophany body to step into. So he's caught between these dimensions, falling in a nightmare. Oh my, I don't want to go to that prison house. But here's how you recognize whether or not you have representation over there. Who is this Melchizedek, 1965? Then after you recognize that the very word of God was eagle food, Then you left the other thing. What other thing? Well, I don't know. It might be different for you than what it was for me. It might have been a denomination. It might have been a doctrine that you were clinging on to that was contrary to the word. It might have been a bottle of alcohol. It might have been a pack of cigarettes. It might have been an adulterous act. It might have been pornography. It might have been all kinds of things. I don't know what it was, but when you recognized this was eagle food, you left that other thing. You left that. You have then been formed into the living image of the living God. Why? You heard from your theophany. You had representation over there. You heard from it. And when you heard from it, you recognized, wait a minute, I've got representation over there. I must have been one of those voices that cried out, we're resting on it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can corruption inherit incorruption. This, like I said, this body, you never be comfortable over there. This body can't inherit eternal life. This flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. What do you mean, Paul? We're not all going the way of the grave, but we are all going to have to be changed somehow. There'll be a group that's here. I don't know if it's going to be one or three or 50. I don't know how many it's going to be. But one of these days, there's going to be a group that's changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that doesn't go the way of the grave. He said, we won't all sleep, but we will all have to be changed. If you're in the grave sleeping, you're going to have to be changed. If you're here on the earth living, you got to be changed if you're going to be there. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I'm not talking about Donald Trump tonight, but at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. Didn't say the corruptible would be annihilated and then there would be a incorruptible waiting. Didn't say the mortal would be annihilated and then the immortality would be created. Said this corruptible is going to put on incorruption and this mortal is going to put on immortality. How are you going to do it? We shall be changed. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Hath quickened. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So are you already raised tonight or are you not? Amen. He's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not will raise us up. Past tense, hath raised us up. How did he do it? Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set not your affection on things above, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So are you dead or are you alive tonight? Are you raised or are you not raised? Oh, I thank God for a prophet. There was so much confusion without a prophet. But I'm so thankful that he took some of these things and made it so clear to us. Now, how could the same man that was standing and talking to one group and say, we shall be changed, shall be in the future, and then say, you're already risen to another group? Was one group filled with the Holy Ghost and one group wasn't? Or was there one? There has to be some way that we can piece all this together. Not Brother Nathan, but a prophet came and did it. Questions and Answers, 1962. In there we look back and seen where we used to lie and steal and cheat and smoke and do things that's wrong. We've raised from that. We're in heavenly places. What is it? The evidence that someday we'll have a body like his own glorious body. It's the exact evidence of the resurrection because potentially We are already raised with him. Potentially, we've already died. Didn't say we've already died, not this guy at least. Didn't say we've already raised, not this guy at least. But potentially we have. He said, William Branham that used to live doesn't live no more. He's been dead 30 some odd years now. It's a new creature. Why? It's under new management. There was something, a new nature that came in and took over. That old guy that used to lie and steal and cheat and drink and do all those different things, that soul was changed in a moment. That old nature was changed in a moment. Why? Because it was representing a physical type as well. Just like the earth. Brother Bram said the earth goes through the same cycles that our body does. The earth had to have water baptism in the days of Noah under the Antediluvian destruction. Then it had to be sanctified by blood in the days of Jesus shedding his blood upon the earth, just like we did. And then he said it's going to be cleansed with fire, just like we had to be cleansed by the Holy Ghost and fire coming in and cleansing off all the sin and things that was in our life. It comes down and cleanses off all the sin and sickness and trash off of the earth. But he said it won't be annihilated. Won't be a new heavens and a new earth like we think. He said, you go back and look at what that word means, future home, 1964. Not a total replacement, but what does it do? It goes through the same process that we go through, the same body, the same earth, but yet it's cleansed. The same framework, the same core, but yet it's changed. It's changed to where there's no more sickness. There's no more death. There's no more, you don't have to worry about a lion attacking you or a snake biting you or your neighbor shooting you in your sleep. Why? There's been a change. Amen. The Easter seal, 1965. And there's no devil, no church or any theology that can overstep the boundaries of God, of God's proof and abstract. I want to remind the devil of that tonight. Let me just read that again to him. There's no devil, no church, any theology that can overstep the boundaries of God's proof and abstract. If you've got the abstract deed tonight, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what your neighbor says. I don't care what your mommy or daddy says or anybody else. They didn't put you in and they can't take you out. There's no devil in hell. There's no doctrine. There's no theology. There's no pope or priest or king that can take you out of that. Once you've got that abstract title deed, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. There's no overriding it. You can take it and appeal it, but they'll say, no, I'm sorry. This goes all the way back to the original owner. Oh, my. That the baptism of the Holy Ghost has recognized us in Jesus Christ. We just are sure to raise as he raised because potentially we have already raised in him. Amen. The old things, what does it do to our mortal bodies? It turns our opinion, changes our notions. It sets our affections on things above. And the smoking, drinking, gambling, and the things that you used to do is dead. It's beneath you. Amen. It's beneath you. You say, you know what? Those things I used to do, I must have been crazy. I don't even know. There's not even anything in me anymore that would crave a cigarette. There's not even anything in me anymore that would crave a drink of alcohol. What is it? He changed you. He quickened that mortal body. He quickened you. He changed you. What was it? You had a nature change, and those things that were they were your slave master. They had you bound. Now they're beneath you. They're under your feet. Why? You've been changed. Amen. Amen. What is it? The potential. The earnest. Of what you're going to have. And you are quickened. And this quickening power brings your body into a raptured condition already. Didn't say you were raptured already. Said it brings you into a raptured condition already. What is it? If I've got the Holy Ghost, I am the rapture. That's what Brother Branham taught us. He said, you are the rapture. You say, oh, my Brother Nathan, biting your nails, a nervous wreck. Oh, goodness, I just don't know. I hope I make it. I hope I make the rapture. I hope I'm there. If you're the bride of Jesus Christ, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you got the seal on your life, you are the rapture. Amen. There's no rapture without you. You're a part of it. You're already in a raptured condition. Easter seal again, 1965. We've already raised, hallelujah, from the things of the world. Not. He didn't say that we've raised. Our physical body has raised from the dead, but we've raised how? From the things of the world to the things of God's promise. Not will, we are, it's the potentials. It's the rising of the sun, 1965. Now, potentially, you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit. You're resurrected right then. Your body is potentially resurrected. Now, it seems like contradictory statements. You're resurrected right then. Your body is potentially resurrected. How can he say that? That you are resurrected, but you're potentially resurrected. Because you remember who he said? He said, this isn't me. This isn't really me, this guy you see out here. He said, this isn't William Branham. He said, this is just the shell that William Branham lives in. The real me is down on the inside. That nature, that soul that was from the beginning, that was in the eternal thoughts of God. What is it? You are. You're resurrected right then. But this guy, the outside body, is potentially resurrected. The Way of a True Prophet of God, 1962. We got eternal life, resurrection from sin, now in righteousness with the Holy Ghost. And then, on the return back with Christ, we come back with both physical resurrection and we already got spiritual resurrection. Oh, I thank God for our prophet. We had all these loose ends laying out here, and this one taught it this way, and that one taught it that way, and this one over here saw it this way, and this denomination said that denomination's going to hell, and this church said that group over there ain't got it, and this one said, no, they don't got it either, and on, back and forth, calling one another serpent seed, and leaning this way, and leaning that way, and flying with the one-winged bird, going around in circles, because they wasn't balanced, and then a prophet of God came and laid down the scale and said, here's the balance right here, tied up all the loose ends. On the return back with Christ, we come back with both physical resurrection and we already got spiritual resurrection. Who is this Melchizedek 1965 and what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. What is? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. You say, I just don't know, Brother Nathan. I sure am trying to live good. I sure am trying to live the holiest I can. I sure don't want to miss that rapture. If you got the Holy Ghost, you've already started. Amen. You don't have to worry about the resurrection. You already have the down payment. You already have the earnest. Brother Bram said it's like a loaf of bread. He said back then he said it was 25 cents, I think. Today it'd probably be about, what, $2.50 or $3? I don't know. I haven't bought a loaf of bread, I guess, lately or paid attention to what it was. But if I gave you the $3, Brother Hoover, and said, here's $3, and you knew the store was right across the street, you got the down payment. You don't have to worry about it. Maybe you're so frail and so starving that you can't hardly do nothing, but you know what? All you got to do is walk over there and lay the money down and say, I have arrived. I would like that loaf right there with the latest expiration date possible. And you would get it and you would take it and you would pay it. Why? You already have what it takes to redeem the loaf of bread. Amen. Amen. He came and he redeemed us back. And I don't have to worry about will I be or won't I be. If I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I've already got the down payment. I've already got the earnest again. I don't have to worry about will this body raise. It's already started. Amen. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It turned heavenly. You may not feel like you turned heavenly tonight, but if you really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whether you feel like it or not, it's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. God's provided place of worship, 1965. And God has already raised us up potentially. The quickening power that raised us up from a life of sin and changed our beings, it has potentially raised us up in Christ Jesus, which the resurrection will bring us forth in the full maturity. Oh my. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a body that won't get tired, that won't blow its voice out all the time, that won't dread when that alarm clock goes off, that won't have gray hairs and pains and sufferings and toothaches and having to go and get shots and go to the doctor and all these kinds of things. I'm about done with it. I'm ready for a body eternal in the heavens. Won't get tired, won't get sick. Won't have to eat if I don't want to. Can't eat if I want to once I come back and pick up the glorified body. That's what he said. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Won't have to worry about my cholesterol, Brother Hoover. I can eat as much or as little or whatever as I want. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry if I want to go for a 3-day fast. I won't have to worry about hypoglycemia. Amen. Why? It's a perfect body created in the heavens. I won't have to eat to replenish cells. But if I start missing the taste of something that I ate back here on earth, I don't know if we'll have steak or not. You know, I don't know. In the millennium we might, but I guess once we get past the millennium, there won't be no death or anything. So I don't know, Brother Hoover, but that's one thing that he'll have to change my taste buds too when he changes the rest of me. He'll make that broccoli taste like steak. I'll say, oh my, that's a good one right there. He'll really have to change me if I like broccoli, but Oh, my. God's good to us, isn't he? Satan likes to try to beat you up and weigh you down. You feel like you're saved this week, and then you don't feel like you're saved next week, and back and forth and up and down. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've met his requirements, Satan can't beat you out of it. No preacher or priest or prophet or king can take you in or put you out. It's already, you've already got the down payment. Just like if you, sometimes you go ahead and you order something, whether it's food or whatever it would be, or maybe you go to see a play or something, and they already have a ticket waiting for you there at your will call. You've already prepaid. You don't have to go and stand in line with everybody else. You've already prepaid, and you just go to the little will call desk, and you say, my name is Nathan Bryant. I already have a ticket that's been paid. And they hand it to you, say, yes, Mr. Bryant, here's your tickets, here's your order, or here's your seats, or whatever it is. And they hand it to you. I don't have to get out my wallet and pay again. It's already paid for. I don't have to prove to them how holy or how righteous or how good or how bad or how ugly or how good looking I am. I just say, my name's Nathan Bryant. I have a ticket that's already been paid for me. They look and they say, can you prove that you're Nathan Bryant? Yes, here's my identification. You know what? It's right. You do have a ticket that's already been paid for. When we get to that day, you don't have to worry about, let me get prayed up real quick, Lord. If you waited that long, the door's already shut anyhow. But when you get there, and you stand in his presence, he says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Maybe somebody say, wait a minute, Lord, has this guy got a ticket? He opens up his big box that has the book of redemption, the Lamb's book of life. He goes through, turn over to the B's here. I'm dramatizing here. B-R-Y-A-N-T, A-B-C-D, goes all the way down. Nathan Bryant, yes. Yeah, he's got a prepaid package. It was paid for at Calvary. He doesn't have to pay for his ticket. He doesn't have to earn his ticket. He didn't have to inherit his ticket. On the good days, his ticket was still there. On the bad days, his ticket was still there. It was already paid for, and it was right here waiting for him at will call. Nathan Bryant, there you are. Enter in, my good and faithful servants. Stephanie Nicholson, Jimmy R., Trevor Eamon, whatever your name is, if your name has representation over there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about whether your ticket's paid for or not. It was already paid for. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. I'm so thankful that he paid for my ticket. All of my good works, all of my righteousness, all of my learning, all of my ability, whatever it would be, didn't amount to a hill of beans. Couldn't buy my ticket. But it was already there, paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered. Oh, my. Well, I gave that away, didn't I? Switch that. D, Brother Joshua. I forgot the screen was still up there. It's okay. You can leave it. They can read the words that way, too. You can leave it back, I guess, yeah, in case somebody doesn't know the words. This is what heaven means to me. Let's sing it together. Oh, a country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending days where night will never be. Oh, it's a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, church, this is just what heaven means to me. Yeah.
heaven means to me. Oh, it's a place where there are no misunderstandings, and from all enmity and strife we're free. There are no unkind words that wound the heart or spoken. Oh, I know this is just what heaven means to me. Let's stand and sing it together.
Yes.
bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. Lord, we thank you for representation over there, that we don't have to worry about will we be raptured, will we be raised, will we be changed, Father. Oh, Lord, we know that we already have the earnest. We already have the down payment. Father, if there's any here tonight that doesn't have it, Father, may they run to the altar and get it while there can still be the token applied over their life, Father. While there's still oil to be had, Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, may they not wait until the hour is too late, Father. But, Lord, help them to recognize that if they can just get filled with your Spirit, that they have representation over there, that they have the promise that it's not just to those that was back there on the day of Pentecost, but it was to as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God has called. Lord, you're still calling tonight. Lord, may there just be representation made for those that are here tonight, Father, we pray. Oh, Lord, may we be sure that we're sealed. May we not grieve the Holy Spirit by which we're sealed till the day of our redemption, Father. But help us to do what will be pleasing in your sight, Father. Lord, I thank you for representation over there, that I recognized that what I was eating on was eagle's food, Father. That I recognized that I was one of those voices that cried out, we're resting on it. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the assurance to know that I have representation over there. Nobody can take it away from me. Nobody could give it to me but you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Father, for representation over there, that I don't have to worry about will I be or what will it be. I know I will be part of it, Father. I'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and have a body like your own glorious body. I'll see you as you are, Father. I thank you for that promise, Lord. Lord, if there's any tonight that, maybe they would disagree with certain aspects or terminologies or whatever it would be. Oh, Father, may we just be able to at least agree with what St. Paul said, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. I don't care how it comes, how the chemicals of the body are, whatever it would be. I just know I'm going to be changed. I know I can't attain to it over there in this body unless it has a change, Father. But I know that I will be changed because I have representation over there. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for that blessed hope and that blessed assurance, so we don't have to worry about it. We have the down payment already. Thank you, Father, for that blessed assurance. We love you tonight, Father. Thank you for all these things, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Number 24 in your hymn book, if you don't know it. Oh, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Oh, the Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above.
Master looks on at the strife. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm saved in his shelter. By faith.
will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, beyond that blessed heavenly shore. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From a heart safe in His shelter. Living by faith, and I feel no alone. Well, I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care if Jesus walks close to my side? Well, I'm living by living by faith, and I feel no alone. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Shouting victory, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that my Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. So glad that my Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, oh, Jesus set me free. Oh, well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free.
This is 61 in your hymn book. Help me sing this tonight before we go.
Oh, I shall not be, oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Lord, I shall not be moved. Oh, Jesus is my Savior.
That's planted by the